So we're gonna hear from Bill Hernandez tonight. It's always a deep well with some humor, you know. Yeah. So would you welcome with me Bill Hernandez as he comes to share?
So, you know, usually when I do a message, I don't really feel a lot of resistance, you know. And so I put this together, and I just was feeling so much resistance. You know, I was thinking, oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, my God, I don't know what's happening. So I was thinking, maybe I'm just in a mood. You know, that's what it is. I'm just in a mood. I'm just getting old and cranky. And that's why I just don't want to deal with this. You know, I'm just tired. I want to take a nap. I want to eat lots of Cheetos and watch TV. And I just couldn't. I said, "What in the world is this?" You know. So I went out to the back. I was back there, and then all of a sudden, boom! It just kind of dawned on me. I said, "Aha! I know what this is." I says, "I'm picking up resistance, people's resistance, because the Lord is going to be doing a change. He's going to be doing something today." For each of you and people that are watching, and that there's going to be some breakthroughs, and but the thing is, and I'm even as I'm saying it, I can feel the resistance. I can feel the pushback, because sometimes we don't easily go forward. Sometimes we just get stuck. We're stuck, and I felt like the Lord was also showing me that sometimes in rafting, when they go out white water rafting, one of the things that'll happen is sometimes they'll hit an eddy that just goes around and around, and they get stuck in it, and they can actually get sucked into it, and that happens to them sometimes, and it's very dangerous. And I felt like the Lord was showing me, he said that's where some people are at. They get stuck in this eddy, and it's really hard for them to get out of it. And I felt like that's the Lord was showing me. He says he's going to help people get out of it. And so yes. So anyway, I'm going to pray first. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray first. We're going to ask for assistance here. So Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you are here today, that you are digging deep, that you are digging deep into our hearts, that you always do. That's your job, a two-edged sword going deep inside. To bring change, to bring freedom, to equip. And I thank you that you're here. And I ask, Lord, that you would just send your angels to each one right now. And that you would just take away any distractions, Father. And that you would bring things to mind as I'm sharing, that you would bring stuff to mind, stuff that they need to lift up to you or let go of or move on from or whatever it is. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would just push back against any of the work of the enemy, any darkness, that you would push it back right now. That this is a place of light, a sanctuary of God's presence, and a sanctuary of God's love right now. A place of healing and a place of comfort, a place of freedom. There you have it. All right, so the talk that I'm going to be sharing, you know, we've been going through Corinthians, and so you know, Brent asked me to, he gave me this scripture to share on. It's from 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10, which will be displayed in the magical place behind me. Message is called Keeping Your Love On. That's not the scripture. 2 Corinthians 6. Sorry about that. This is 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. It is? Oh, okay. So I'm going to just read it. You know, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And I felt like this is a message for us now, right now for you. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left hand, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. And so I read through that scripture, and as I was going through it, almost immediately, I was just thinking, you know, I haven't really gone out sharing the gospel much, you know, in all my Christian life. Occasionally, I've gone witnessing. Occasionally, I've, you know, stood up for the Lord, you know, out there in the marketplace. But I haven't really, really experienced a lot of what the apostles, what they talk about, all of their horrible things that they've been through and everything. And so I was just thinking, well, so how can I relate? How can I, you know, breathe some life into this scripture or make it relevant or something like that in my situation? So I said, well, let's just work on my situation here. And I began to realize, I said, you know, I think that the things that I have experienced, all the troubles and distresses and the whatnots and the pain and the suffering and the sleepless nights is as a result of what's happened in my involvement in the church, that it's come from people within the body of Christ. A lot of stuff that has happened. For me personally, I just, you know, when I got involved in the church, started getting involved in Christianity, and it even started with Campus Crusade for Christ, I'm just coming with childlike faith, just childlike faith. I'm experiencing the Lord, I'm hearing from the Lord, I'm seeing angels, experiencing the reality of the kingdom, getting words of knowledge, functioning in the prophetic, seeing visions, all of these things. And I just wanted to share that. All I wanted to do was just share it with people. And so, you know, and so then I remember in Campus Crusade for Christ, the very first thing that happened was I'm getting words of knowledge. I didn't know what it was. And I was telling my leader, I said, I'm getting these, you know, these things that are happening before they happen. I'm getting words of knowledge, you know, but I didn't know that. I didn't know what it was called at that time. And he just basically said, oh, that's because of your demonic background. So begins my introduction to the body of Christ being so loving and wonderful and edifying and whatever. It was bad. And so so the things that I'd like to bring up that list on the challenges list. And I through this scripture, what I did was I pulled out the challenges and the breakthroughs. And so I didn't realize that there were so many. So I decided I'm just going to make a list for all those people that like lists. So this is to minister to you, to affirm the list lovers, okay? So so here are the challenges that I have faced, that we have faced, troubles, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, riots, hard work, sleepless nights, hunger, dishonor, bad report, regarded as imposters, regarded as unknown, dying, beaten, sorrowful, poor, and having nothing. And I know some of these, you know, maybe some of you haven't been beaten, but it feels like I've been beaten emotionally, psychologically beaten, and thrashed about. I've experienced the dishonor. I experienced the hunger. I remember I was in a ministry, in this ministry, with the hunger and having nothing really. And I was in this ministry, and we would go to the bookkeeper and we'd say, you know, we need money to eat, you know, for lunch or something, or whatever. And he would just say, well, there isn't any money, but I can give you a few dollars, and that's it. So that kept happening on a regular basis. And I remember at one time what we did was we went through the drawers in the office in somebody's apartment and found pennies and nickels and dimes at the bottom, you know, with all the dust. And scraped together a few pennies to buy a quart of milk and a loaf of French bread. And that was our lunch for, I think, four of us one day. And as it turns out, the bookkeeper had lied about his own financial situation and was embezzling. And so here I am with all my, you know, shiny new faith and childlike faith and believing in the goodness of people in the church and leadership and stuff like that. And here's this person who's lying, you know, and stealing. And it was very weird. It was very, very strange. So I think that some of the things that I've experienced, and some of these are, and, you know, maybe you have experienced this stuff within the church, and maybe you've experienced it at work, or maybe you've experienced it, you know, just out in the marketplace, you know. But for me personally, I'm just drawing from what I observe personally. And I'm just going to read some of the things, you know, apart from these challenges. I've been victimized. I have experienced being gaslit and lied to and mistreated, manipulated, mocked, judged, misunderstood, rejected, dismissed, denied honors, met with skepticism, yelled at, called a liar, humiliated, amongst many of these things. So I think that it was unexpected, coming from leaders and coming from pastors, or coming even from people, let's say supervisors in a job situation, or bosses or stuff like that. So I felt like, especially within the church, and especially coming from leaders and from pastors and colleagues and everything like that, was this unexpected, unconscionable behaviors of disrespect. And, you know, and then thrown under the bus. It was not unusual to be thrown under the bus for whatever agenda they were dealing with in their own lives. And so I also felt, you know, not heard. And I also felt not received. And I know some people fell away from the faith because of it. Some people fall away. They backslide, or they get angry at the church, and they get angry at God and leave God because something bad happened to them in the church. They were used or abused, spiritual abuse, you name it. You talk, you know, whatever it is. Things that I never expected in the church. I'm still there, like, as I was going through this and I was reliving some of the stuff from, you know, from ages gone by, and I realized, I said, I just was like a little kid in the faith, not expecting this. It's kind of like, it's like you see people, you know, that are mature Christians, as it were. And you see them as like they're like angels, emissaries of God, the oracle of the Lord. You know, and they're holy and they're pure, and then they're doing these things to you. It's confusing, very, very confusing. Mixed message. Could not figure out what was going on here. And I realized, you know, that I'm not perfect, you know, and so I mean, it's not like I was pure as the driven snow. I know that I knew that I had my own personal issues. In 1 Peter 2:19-20, it says, "For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But when you do good and suffer for it, you endure this. You endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God." So I know that I've, you know, had my own issues and difficulties that I had to deal with. But I don't think that it was that bad, you know. I don't think it was, you know. I mean, I certainly have, I have prayed for people that I have inadvertently hurt through my impatience, an impatient word or a lack of sensitivity. I've done that. There was one time, there was a situation in working with one of my leaders, you know, coming from a pastor's perspective here, and I had this worker, and he was, I can't remember what he was doing, but he was not following through on what I needed him to be doing. So I just got really stern with him and just kind of yelled at him. And so then I walked away. I started walking away, and this is what the Lord did. He said, "That is a lazy way of dealing with it." He says, "That's a lazy way of relating." He said, it's easier to, you know, to bring out your big stick and hit people over the head with it than to actually personally interact and negotiate and talk. What's going on? What's happening? You know, can we, you know, I need some feedback. What's happening? And the Lord said, it's harder to do that than the other thing. He says, and that's why, with the big stick is the lazy man's way of dealing with things. I go, ooh. I said, okay, all right. So, I mean, it was like within 30 seconds the Lord told me that, and I went back and I apologized. Yes, yeah. So through it all, through all of these situations, there was a you know, like a, I remember there was this this gal, and I'm just telling her, I said, you know, somebody had some chocolate there, that they had brought some chocolate. I go, all right, chocolate. And I said, and I just turned to her, I said, you know, when I was like a little kid, I just was. I couldn't eat chocolate because I would just break up. And I just said to myself, someday when I grow up, I'm going to eat all the chocolate in the world. So then she looked at me very seriously. I mean, seriously, she looked at me and she said, you know, that there is a chocolate demon. There really, and I mean, she was absolutely serious. She was not being sarcastic, but she was serious. And it just sucked the joy out of the moment, right? Another time I was sharing with this other person. She was a missionary, and everyone looked up to her. Oh my God, she's a goddess or whatever. And I'm just kind of sharing with her, you know, about Jesus and the Lord and my experience. And I said, I want more of God. I really want more of God. And I just want to open up. I just want to be human. Just be human with the Lord. And she looked at me in the eye and she said, "Come out of him, human spirit." Can you believe that? And at that point, I just, you know, fell into a little pile of flesh without, like, I didn't have any bones, you know. I just kind of wriggled away. <What's that? laughs> So there's that situation, you know. Here's this person supposed to be really, really spiritual, and right there I'm just killed on the spot for just being honest. Again, here, all I want is, you know, I saw angels, you know, I heard his voice. I want to tell people about it. I'm enthralled with the presence of God, with the kingdom that is real. And I'm going around telling people, I found it. And they're over there trying to cast out chocolate demons out of me. I had a situation where there was this, I've experienced that people who have been very, very disrespectful to me, just as a leader and people in the church, you know, people attenders, and they're yelling at me. I remember this one person, I lived in a household with a bunch of people, and this one person, you know, really got mad at me, and for no good reason. And so I was trying to counsel him and his friend that I knew. I think they were either drinking or I don't know what they were doing. So I was trying to intervene. So he chased me through the house yelling at me at the top of his lungs and everything, all the way into my bedroom. I remember he did this to me. And the thing is that the leadership there did not support me. They weren't there to support me and back me up. So I was being dropped or thrown under the bus in that situation. That kept happening over and over again. And so there was just a lot of pain and a lot of suffering there in that situation. This was like when I was ministering in Marin County. But and then also, too, in the city, I ran into that kind of thing as well. Also, people scolding me and yelling at me. You know, attenders, and then also same thing with colleagues, you know, I felt were either being manipulative or disrespectful to me. But there's a point to all of this, by the way. And I began to, as I was driving to the church, and I'm thinking about the message, because the Lord gives me more information. And I remember that there was a time, there was an interval between the ministry in Marin and the ministry in San Francisco, and I was working at this job for a couple of years. And I was thinking, you know, the people in the church were basically exactly like the people that didn't believe. They were like unbelievers, people in the church acting like unbelievers. I said, I'm wondering how many of these people actually knew the Lord. And so to the extent that they did or didn't, to that extent, they were just being terrible, just terrible to me or whatever. I says, why wouldn't they be? Because they didn't have any base. There was no basis for love inside of them. They were still lost. They were pretty much pagans as anybody else. And I didn't realize. I said, oh my gosh, that's why I've experienced a lot of pain. I put my trust in people and confidence in individuals who actually probably did not know the Lord or did not know the Lord very well at all. And as a result, I come out damaged goods. So, you know, I continued, you know, in ministry there in Marin, and I continued ministry here in San Francisco because I ran into, there was a lot of stuff going on there, a lot of politics and all kinds of stuff. And the thing is that I felt like my witness with the Lord could not be snuffed out. And I just could not be angry with the Lord over all the negative stuff that I experienced. I know some people have gotten angry with the Lord and have walked away. You know, oh, they did me horrible. That pastor was so horrible to me. And I just, you know, where were you, God? So goodbye. You know, I'm going to leave you, God, because I'm mad at you. I could never do that. I don't know why. I never could be mad at God, because I knew from the beginning he rescued me. He pulled me out of the world. He was my lifeline. He was my raft, as it were. And he kept my nose above water. He kept me sane. Why would I throw him away? So there was just something there that he installed. So he has installed a portion of himself within us that has kept our boat afloat, as it were. But even though my boat was floating, it didn't mean that I was not wounded, that I didn't experience wounds, because I've been going through a lot of healing and stuff. It's taken a lot of years of having to release things and to move through. And so I'm going to read that list, you know, on the challenges and the breakthroughs. So in this scripture, I saw, oh, look at these. This is like, you know, this is what kept the apostles had faith in the Lord. They knew the Lord. They saw the Lord. They interacted with the Lord. It's very, very powerful, and it just fueled them with breakthroughs so that they were able to have great endurance, purity, understanding, patience, kindness. They were in the Holy Spirit. They had sincere love. They had truthful speech. They had the power of God. They had the weapons of righteousness. You know, they were genuine. They were known. You know, they experienced the glory of God. You know, they had good report. We live on. We're not killed. We're always rejoicing. We're making many rich. We're possessing everything. So that, in spite of all of the things that I was experiencing, or in spite of any of the hardships that you would experience, I feel like the Lord gives us these breakthroughs, that He instills breakthrough within us to endure. That's how I was able to endure. I was able to continue to make many rich, as it were, in their hearts. And I was able to continue to keep my love on because of the Holy Spirit, because of his presence that kept me going. And it's not like they did me bad, or they were manipulative to me, so I'm just going to choose to be loving instead, you know? But it's kind of like I couldn't, like, just do it on my own, but it was because of the indwelling Spirit that gives us the ability to resist darkness and to resist inconsistencies and to, I guess, survive them, as it were, you know? I felt like, you know, I'm just going to keep on going here. I feel like the Lord is saying, in spite of what's going on, to keep our love on. We can't unspill milk. And I feel like this is where the Lord is saying, it's time to leave the past behind. And it's time to move on. Easier said than done, especially if you're experiencing PTSD. So, you know, what's PTSD? What? Very good. Post-traumatic stress syndrome. Thank you very much. So some of us could have been really, really damaged, really bad, and sometimes it takes a long, long time to get over it. And depending on the kind of things that you've experienced, and you could have experienced some terrible abuse. What was really interesting is I'm going over this. I said, Lord, I don't want to talk about this subject. I don't know. You know, I said, it's too intense or something, you know. And then all of a sudden, I'm there in Facebook, and there's Doug Addison, because Doug Addison, he posts these little words. And he posted today, you cannot live your life at the tomb of your past. Whoa. I said, aha, so that's the message here for today, is that the Lord is calling us forward. Like I read in 2 Corinthians, it says, he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So that means today, that pertains to this moment and now. It's almost kind of like the Lord is saying, it's time to leave all that stuff behind and to go forward. And like I mentioned here, I felt like the Lord was saying, you can't unspill milk. You can continue to mull it over and regret and regret and regret and regret, but that doesn't change anything. That doesn't unbreak the egg. It doesn't. And I feel like the Lord is saying, this is the time just to snap out of it and move forward. He says, you can't stay in anger. You can't stay in bitterness forever. And the reason why is because we have the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:17, it says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. So the Holy Spirit wins. So he is working on us, on our hearts, to win and to move forward. But I feel like, you know, it also has something to do with a prophetic fulfillment of what God is wanting to do to bring revival into this world, is to move on from old wineskins and into new wineskins. Yes. Amen. Whatever your old wineskins are, and from wherever they came from. So keeping your love on, it says, you know, to forgive. So we have Colossians 3:13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave. He says, if any of you has a grievance against someone, that means someone or anybody, no matter who it is, and it doesn't matter what point in time, forgive, he's saying. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So sometimes, you know, you've heard me talk about how can I learn how to be more forgiving or kind and stuff like that. And I say, you know, one of the things you could do is to be honest with the Lord, to really be down to earth, honest all the time with him, with everything. Keep on confessing and talking to him again and again and again. And what happens is you begin to see what his forgiveness looks like. I tell people, do you want to see the glory of God? And they go, yeah. I said, okay, this is what you're going to do to see the glory of God. Be honest with him with everything. No holds barred. And then what's going to happen is he's going to show you, he's going to answer you with the deepest love and the deepest understanding that you could ever imagine. Over and over and over. I did this horrible, horrible thing. This is the darkest, deepest, blackest thing I've ever done, Lord. And he'll come and he'll say, I understand. I felt that with you. I'm standing with you. And coming from, and because all the stuff you've been through, I understand why you would choose the deepest, darkest, blackest thing that you've been doing. I totally get it. And I'm walking with you, and we're going to walk together out of it. That's the glory of God. And so with that, then it's just that we can forgive as the Lord forgave you. So when you encounter people who are in the deepest, darkest, whatever, they're sharing whatever, then you're there and you say, the Lord loves you and he's standing with you right there. And I hear you and I receive you. Instead of scolding people. Because I remember that's what used to happen, is that I would share stuff with people in the past and they would scold me instead of love me, instead of receive me. So we learn how to receive. We learn how to forgive, because we learn that from the Lord who receives us. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And so, and then of course, there's a scripture that my mom probably would write, and she would just say, yeah, you need to get over it because I suppose you don't stink. That would stop a lot of fights. You know, my mom would be able to stop a lot of fights. So, you know, people change also. I heard that for unforgiveness is kind of like taking a snapshot of someone and then fixing them like that, and that they're forever a horrible, awful person. But people change, you know. Like if a person, like let's say if I snapped at somebody, you know, years and years ago and I was impatient and they took a picture of me and that's how they see me and they just say, oh, there's Bill, the snapping turtle. You know, 50 years later, there's that snapping turtle. Does that make sense? That's what unforgiveness is like. But people change. And so, you know, and like I said, you know, get healed, you know, go through a heart sink with Susan and Russ. Another thing that I tell people is don't get into arguments about the Spirit. Just do not get into arguments with the Spirit, because you're going to get into a lot of pain with people, you know, because sometimes, you know, people, I don't know, for whatever reason, they, I don't know. I remember at this church, I was experiencing a lot of words of knowledge that was coming alive. The Spirit of the presence of the Lord was so powerful, and everyone's moving, you know, and it's just kind of like, of course, you know, with the Spirit is moving, people are going to act a little odd or whatever. People might feel a little uncomfortable. You know, and so I started writing about, I wrote a newsletter on the Word of Knowledge. And I said, you know, we're able to know because we have the mind of Christ or something like that. Well, there was a person there at that church. She was the editor, I guess it was, the editor-in-chief. And she 100% disagreed with all of it, with any move of the Spirit, with any presence of whatever the Spirit was doing, or Word of Knowledge and whatever. And she lambasted me and rejected the article altogether. And I go, oh my God, you know. But I did not get into an argument. The Lord told me from the very beginning, that is forbidden. Forbidden, forbidden. Never get into arguments about the Holy Spirit with anyone. I think God is big enough. He has his own adult pants on. He can take care of himself. He doesn't need us to defend him. Because what it does is it destroys the unity. It destroys the unity of the Holy Spirit and closes the door to reconciliation, that kind of stuff. I remember during renewal, things would get shut down a lot, and I tried to explain to people that the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was really important. We needed more freedom, that kind of a thing. And I would just get a lot of blowback. I remember people would just argue back at me on staff, at staff meetings, and were disrespectful to me, you know, and also disrespectful to my team as well. I saw that as well. You know, but I said, I'm not going to get into any arguments here. I'm just not going to do that, and just kind of held back. So I mentioned that by the Spirit we endure, that we're not left on our own, to our own devices to muster up a positive attitude. And by His Spirit we exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So we are empowered to deal with all of these things that I read here about the challenges. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These things. And in Romans 8:28, it says, what does it say in Romans 8:28? I bet you guys know, don't you? It says, then we know that all things works out for good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Right, exactly. And so, that also endurance has its results. One of the breakthroughs here in that list is it was great endurance. And I'd like to read in James 1, 2 through 5. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So I started thinking, I said, you know what? This is a battle for our faith. And it's like really kind of strengthened my faith, because even though I was experiencing a lot of hardships, a lot of terrible things in the midst of it, the Lord just kept coming back with more and more grace, more love, more revelation, more understanding. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So I feel like the Lord, in the midst of it all, He will continue to supply character growth and wisdom and understanding, all these kinds of things. I feel like I'm a better person as a result of His intervention, really His intervention in the challenges that I faced. He intervenes by bringing breakthrough. He brings the purity and the understanding, the patience, the kindness, the Holy Spirit, the great endurance, the truthful speech, all of that, the good report. And just keeping our love on. I remember at one time, the Lord, there was a lot of politics going on in San Francisco, a lot of intense controversy. I mean, it was just, there was a lot of pain and a lot of people just being really polarized very seriously. So there I am, you know, big caring heart and empathetic and listening to all the different things. And it was just really, really hard not to find myself sliding into the politics a little bit around the edges. And the Lord just stopped me dead in my tracks. And He said, I have not called you into politics. What I called you into is love, healing, and grace. And just stay in that vein and give that. So that was His thing, making many rich. Making many rich. And He was saying, I want you to just go and make people rich in their heart. Stay in that vein. And I stayed in that vein. And as a result, all this entire staff completely disappeared. All of them left. And it was just me and Michael Brodeur that stayed behind. We were the last two standing, and I was standing because of the Holy Spirit I listened to Him and I said, okay, I am just going to keep my love on and love others and do good in that way and be present for others in spite of everything that's going on around me, in spite of all the bad reports and all of the yammering and complaining and the whining and all the manipulations and you name it, including adulteries and stuff like that. And so, and it was by His Spirit The Lord makes lemonade out of lemons. The Lord puts his attitude in us. So this breakthrough that Paul is talking about was, it's like the Lord putting his attitude there into Paul's heart, into the apostles, and he puts his attitude in us so that we can endure, so that we can keep on going and go forward and leave it behind. You know, I'm just, as I'm saying this, I'm just having this vision of Star Wars. Did you guys ever see Star Wars? And do you remember the last one, The Return of the Jedi? And then they fly into the Death Star, right? They fly into this Death Star, and then they destroy the inner machinery, and then they're flying as fast as possible to get out before the whole thing blows up. And that's us. And he's saying, get out of the Death Star. It's like the past is death. Move on. It's time to move on into new life and into the new wineskin. And one of the ways you do it, to forgive, to release, to bless, to move on, and to let it go. And if you can't do it, you ask him, Lord, help me to let it go. Help me to move on from it. Help me to do this. And if you can't do it on your own, then do it with somebody. Get a counselor. Call Susan. She'll unlock you from that sucker. So I would just say also too, it's kind of like I said, you know, that the Lord makes lemonade out of lemons. So all of that stuff, in spite of all of the things that I've experienced, I've endured, and what he's done is he's made me more resilient. So he makes us more resilient. He's the author of resilience, really. He installed it. He installed resilience in me in spite of the hardship. That was his answer to my pain. That was his answer to my challenge. All of the challenges that I read, that was his answer. Endurance, resilience, strength, and stamina, and kindness, and grace, and goodness, and forgiveness, and just moving on. And building a bridge and getting over it. So the past church, you know, my past church, you know, I just kind of see all of that as an old wineskin with all the legalism and the dishonor and the various ills and all that kind of stuff. And we're moving on from that. And I feel like that's where we're at. We're on the cusp of, the Lord is on the, he's like, it's almost like pulling hen's teeth almost, but he's pulling us forward. Into this new wineskin that's that is a blessing and honor and receiving each other. And I would just say a lot of what I experienced was I was not being received. I was not being received. I was being talked at. I was being manipulated. I was having other people's values put on me. And if I didn't walk with their values, then I was rejected or shunned. In other words, I wasn't being received. They wanted me to receive their values, but I was just being manipulated, you know? And so I that's not what we're being called into. That's not what the new church is. The new church, and we see it here, honor and blessing and friendship and kindness and goodness, we receive each other. We listen. We have good listening skills. We have good receiving skills. I feel like the with this great revival that I've been talking about over and over again, you know, and I a lot of times I share it, and I felt like the Lord was telling me recently. he said, with this great revival, you know, there's another layer that's going to be coming. Not only we're going to be seeing a lot of miracles and healings and all that kind of stuff that's going to be happening, and it's going to sweep across the world, but I felt like he was just saying that we're going to be fathers and mothers bringing guidance and direction. And I felt like he was saying that we are going to be, as it were, apostles and good shepherds, bringing vision, truth, and light, and laying foundations and building people and building ministries. So I feel that currently the house is being swept, and what I've been talking about right now is we're talking about sweeping the house and to be cleaned and renewed back to pure love. So I don't know, I thought it was kind of interesting that the Lord just kind of, you know, brought all this stuff up. And I was just thinking, you know what it feels like, what it really feels like. You know, sometimes when you have some time and you go and you decide, you know, you lose something behind the bed and you say, okay, I got to get back there. Where is it? You know, and you just keep pulling out dust bunnies, one dust bunny after another. Then a sock. I go, oh, there's that book. And then you say, ugh. And then you decide, okay, let me just clean it right there. Oh, dear. Now I got a clean spot. Now this spot is dirty. Ugh. Let's just pull the whole bed out, dismantle everything, and you just start getting all the nooks and crannies before you know it. And you pull out the wand, you know, that wand from your vacuum cleaner with the long thing, the crevice thing, you know. So that's what the Lord, I felt like the Lord was saying, that's what I'm doing, is I've gotten out the crevice tool to get out the little dust bunnies, the little crumbs that are around the edges. So if you have crumbs, you know, if the Lord is showing you some crumbs, I'm going to pray in a minute, then you're going to give that to the Lord, okay? So before I do that, I want to read one last scripture here, and it's from Psalm 37, 1 through 11. It says, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Yay, 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 yay. And in Matthew 5:10, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So I'm going to pray. All right. Father, I just thank you, Father, for your healing grace right now. I thank you for your spiritual crevice tool that's going to vacuum the crumbs, Lord. And I ask that you just go to each person and you would show them something, anything that a slight, anything that might have hurt them in the past, in a previous church situation or whatever, or from anyone, or even in a work situation, and you would show it to them and help them, Father, to let it go right now. And in your own heart, just say to yourself, I release this. I release this. I release this to you, Lord. And I choose to move on from it. I forgive so-and-so. And I choose to move on from that person. I forgive, for they did not know what they were doing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would just take us out of any eddy, any little whirlpool that's got us stuck, that you would unstick us to move on, that we would become unstuck and move forward into your marvelous plan that you have for a new wineskin and a new life and a new way, that we would get pulled forward, Lord, that you would take us by the hand and pull us forward. No more mulling. No more regrets. No more crying over spilled milk. I accept that this happened, Lord. I'm going to move on. There's nothing I can do to change it now. There's a lot of things we can't change. It's just, they just happen, so we just move on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So concludes my talk. All right, there you go. Go home and eat Cheetos.